In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory.
Brothers and sisters, we gather here today on what is called Judgment Sunday. It's the Sunday that we recall the Lord's teaching about the great and final judgment on that last day. This is one of the preparations for our Lenten period. Next Sunday, we'll have Forgiveness Sunday, and we'll remember that as we set out on the Great and Holy Fast. But this Sunday before, we remember the dread judgment. This is a topic which is very difficult to talk about, very difficult to hear about. It's a subject that creates a sense of apprehension within us, a sense of fear, because we know that on that great and terrible day, our eternal destiny will be revealed, whether we enter into the kingdom of heaven or if we enter into hell. And on that day, that eternal destiny will be made manifest, not just for us, but for all, that everyone will be gathered together and we will see one another's judgment. So we fear not only for ourselves, but we fear for one another, for our neighbors, for our friends, and even for our enemies. This is the great day of reckoning. The Church bids us to remember this as we enter into the Lenten period so that we could make our repentance, so that we can change our ways, change our minds, our hearts, our wills, change everything about us, so that we would be ready for that day. So that on that day we would be able to enter into that kingdom and rejoice for all of eternity. In the Orthodox Church, the Last Judgment is depicted in iconography using the biblical imagery. You see the icon on the analoy here of the Last Judgment. This icon is brought out on this Sunday for us to remember the prophecies and for us to contemplate them. But this icon is also depicted in an Orthodox church on one of the walls. In a traditional Orthodox church where all the icons are laid out in particular locations, the Last Judgment is put in a very special spot. Does anyone know where the Last Judgment icon is put? It's put on the western wall. Strange, I think, because as the sun rises in the east, we look to the Lord's second coming, and his light will then shine over all of the world. But the Last Judgment icon is put on the western wall. And it's put on the western wall for a very important reason. Because when we exit the church, when we leave the church, we look and we see that dread judgment. We see to where we're going. We're not just going to our homes after we leave the church. We're ultimately on a longer journey that will finally end in the destination of the judgment seat of our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ. And that icon is there on that western wall to remind us of that. The church has been likened to many things, to a hospital, to a place where a spiritual battle is fought, to a classroom where the Lord is our teacher. And we all know that in school, one of the dread days is the day of the examination, the day of the test. Because we either pass or we fail. We either rejoice or we're sad. We're either rewarded or we're punished. And if the teacher is a good one and a wise one, we'll remind the students that that examination day is coming. To make yourselves ready. To prepare yourselves. So that when that test is given, you'll pass it. And the Lord reminds us that that final examination, that final test is coming. And we should prepare ourselves. We should be ready so that we pass it. Sometimes we think the passing of the test sounds quite easy when we listen to the gospel reading today. There were a number of things that would be asked on that test. Right? Did we feed the hungry? Did we give drink to those who are thirsty? Did we visit the sick and the imprisoned, clothe the naked? Did we do these things, these acts of mercy? And a false reading of this text, a false understanding of the dread judgment, would be that we can just make a list, write down these things, and go out on this very day and find somebody to feed, somebody to give something to drink, somebody to clothe, somebody to visit in prison, and we could kind of just take care of this checklist. So when we come, we say, well, taken care of. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, we did it. But of course, a test is about revealing what's inward, what's within. You know, a test in mathematics reveals if we've learned how to do addition or subtraction. When we get our certification in whatever professional field, it's merely to reveal to other people that we've become a professional. We've become certified in this or that field. We've become accredited. Right? We passed our bar exam, and now we're able to practice law, for instance. The external test reveals what's internally, the character. In the Gospels, there are many different criteria that's given as we approach the dread judgment seat. In today's parable, it's showing mercy and love to those who are in need, to our neighbors. On other occasions, the Lord speaks about the dread judgment as the talents. One person was entrusted 1, 1, 5, 1, 10. How did we use those talents? How did we practice our stewardship? In another parable, did we come and accept the invitation to the banquet, to the wedding banquet? Or did we make excuses and go our own way? There are a variety of different parables that give us some insight into the dread judgment seat so that we can be ready, so that we can do our preparation. When we speak about final exams and certifications, you know, in the world, we can cheat. We can cheat. You can probably go online and print out some paperwork that says that you're certified in this or you're certified in that. And yet at the dread judgment, there is no cheating. That the examination is given by the Lord, who knows all things. He knows what we've done, who knows what we've become. In our preparation, I want to share with you a quote from St. Nikolai Veliamirovich. And you have a copy of the quote because it's very profound and it's something for you to keep with you and to reflect upon. He gives us a way that we could prepare, that we could make ourselves ready. We'll read the quote. He says, and he's going to move us, by the way, from, he often does this in his writings, from material things to spiritual things. Like our icon, it uses material imagery, but it talks about spiritual things. St. Nikolai's quote will move us from material things to spiritual things. He says, water is finer than earth. Fire is finer than water. Air is finer than fire. Electricity is finer than air. See the progression from coarse material things to finer, more subtle material things. Nevertheless, he says, even air and electricity are dense elements in comparison to the spiritual world. So the material world is coarse, the spiritual world is fine and subtle. He says, electricity is very fine, but the voice is finer than electricity. The thought is finer than the voice, and the spirit is finer than the thought. See the progression here. Now he says, the air is fine, and it carries the voice over a great distance. Electricity is fine, and it carries light over a great distance. Everyone follow this? That things pass over a distance. Nevertheless, how much more is every deed, every word, every thought of ours carried to all the ends of the spiritual world? How terrible it is to commit wicked deeds and to speak sinful words and to think evil thoughts. To what immeasurable distances do these things pass on the waves of the spiritual sea? But do not go into the details of the unknown world. The main thing is that you know and that you measure how all of your deeds, words, and thoughts unavoidably create an impression on all four sides, on God and the spiritual world, on nature, on men, and on your soul. If you train yourself in this knowledge, you will attain a higher level of saving vigilance. Very profound, St. Nikolai Vilimirovich's insight. Using material things to teach us about spiritual things, so that we could realize that everything that we do, every thought that we have, every feeling that we have, every word that we speak, every deed that we do, that it has ramifications, that it affects one another, that it affects nature, that it affects God in the spiritual world, that it affects ourselves. Everything that we do has an effect, and it has a lasting effect. It has an eternal effect. One of the modern-day things that people are in love with today is Facebook. Facebook, very popular. Who has a Facebook account? A good portion of you. Some of you don't, but no one in this church has not heard of Facebook. I know that. On Facebook, there's something called a status. You can log on to Facebook, and you type in your status. My status, for instance, right now would be Father John is preaching a sermon. Your status is you're listening to a sermon. But your status is what you're up to, what you're doing. You know, you're spending time with your children, you're at the beach. People put in their status, and they share photos about what's happening in their life. And this status goes out all over the world. And wherever you are, you can check in on and see what's happening with so-and-so. It's a wonderful thing. It connects us. But it's also, it can be a deceptive thing, because the status is something that we type in. We type in our own status. I could type in, Father John has given a tremendous homily. But that might not be so accurate. You could type in that you love the homily. That might not be so accurate. Right? We could falsify our status. And that could go out over the whole world. But with God, our status is never falsified. He knows what we're up to. He knows what we're doing, what we're thinking, what we're feeling. And he records that status in our book. Not our Facebook, our true book. He records it. And he gives us a wonderful opportunity to revisit our status over our life and to think about how we spent it, how we spent our childhood, our adolescence, when we became young adults, how we spent the early years of raising our new family, how we spent our middle years, how we spent our later years, how we spent all of this time. If you go on Facebook, you can look for all the recent events, you can go back 2013, 2012, etc. You can go back and review the status. And like on Facebook, you can change your status. In the spiritual life, we can go back and we could see, oh, I went wrong here. I went wrong there. I made mistakes. We could edit our status, so to speak, and we could say, I'm sorry. I ask forgiveness. I repent of this. I'm changing my way. I don't want to be this way anymore. We could change our status. Everything that we do has an effect. And St. Nikolai says how terrible it is when we have sinful words and sinful deeds and sinful thoughts, how it affects everyone. Yet how wonderful it is when we go back and we repent over those things. And we change that. And we have good thoughts and good deeds and good words. That all of those things that hurt our neighbor and were hurtful to God and hurtful to the creation, to nature, and hurtful to ourselves, all of those things can be repented of. They can be changed. That our status can be one of good things, of repentance, turning back to one another. A status of love, And that can be something that's not inauthentic, but something that's real, that's genuine. And that can have eternal consequences for us. And actually, that's what this Lenten period is all about. It's about looking at our past, looking at who we are in the present, and changing our status, offering repentance, becoming the people that we're meant to be. And in becoming the people that we're meant to be, healing our relationship with God, healing our relationship with one another, healing our relationship with the world, being healed as individual persons. What a wonderful gift this Lenten period is for us. What a wonderful gift it is to know that the judgment is coming and that we can prepare ourselves and we could pass that examination, not in a disingenuous way, but in an authentic way, through repentance, through change, through becoming the people that we're meant to be. Brothers and sisters, as we prepare for this great Lent, let us also remember that we are preparing for that last day, that day of judgment, so that we can pass that test, so that we can be new people, so that we can enter into that heavenly kingdom. Glory to Jesus Christ.